والسلام على رسول الله.
Why is not anybody reading Quran throughout these days?
Our brothers are not reading Quran throughout these
days.
It's better.
More. It's closer to the Sunnah. Go. الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. I felt that Salat al-Asr is a bit late now, around 4:30. Cool. Perhaps is the reason why many of the brothers and the women may not have come. So I am thinking that if we have some questions to answer, just to give, our 4:30 time has not reached, just to give some of our brothers and the rest of the women some time to come, because we want to address a matter today that concerns many of us. Which mosque should we pray? Behind which imam should we pray? Many of the people miss Salatul Jum'ah because they think that the imam that is leading the salah, in their opinion, is not a good person. So they miss Salatul Jum'ah. This is wrong. It's wrong. Likewise, some of the elite Muslims, many times you find them not going for Salatul, even Jama'ah, not to talk of Salatul Jum'ah, because in their opinion, the imam is not a good man. Yorubas will say, Iwele koyake umakir lenge. So they don't perform Salatul Jama'ah in the masjid. That's a wrong opinion. So we intend to discuss this matter, or these matters today, inshallah. Mention what some of the ulama have explained regarding these matters, inshallah. So that's why I think it's better that the more of us in the masjid, when we comment, inshallah, the better. Because many times, in fact, sometimes people leave their communities completely to go to another community for Salatul Jum'ah. So what are the conditions that those things are based on? When can we do that? When can we not do that? We'll explain, inshallah. Likewise, Hajj. Sometimes the people say, why is the government sending ulama to go with people to Hajj? They are just wasting government funds. We'll explain something around that, inshallah. Because sometimes we find that people make expressions out of emotional disposition rather than an evidence-based statement, even if it appears somehow. Because evidence will make us understand that even if it appears somehow to you, it is not actually as you think. What will make us now be sure of what is the correctness? Evidence. When we go for Hajj, see a lot of things happen. A lot. And what is the responsibility of the governing body regarding the kind of people they make to lead others on Hajj? Because Hajj, no matter how you study Fiqhul Hajj, I tell you this, you can't perform it alone. Especially if you are a first timer. I tell you this, if you are Ibn Taymiyyah and you go to Hajj, you must have somebody leading you to show you some things. It will go a long way
to differentiate if you are just there alone on your own. So, because those people play a lot of roles, many things you read in the book, you will not know. You might have even passed it before. It's, oh, this was where I was supposed to be, doctor. And you too, doctor. The two of you, inshallah, have performed Hajj. There is no way, if you are not led by somebody who is not just knowledgeable also, but is also experienced. In fact, if you want to start a power, where you get into Masjid al-Haram matter. Otherwise, you could be roving around for 1 hour. You have not done anything. The energy you spend making the tawaf, you spend it moving around the mosque. But when you come in from Bab Ismail, the next gate of Ismail, all the gates have names. So when you come in from Bab Ismail, or the next door to it, Safa. When you go straight into the mosque, you go to where the tawaf will start. But if you don't know that, if you come into the masjid from opposite end, your first job is to look for where do I start my tawaf. If you can't also find or know these bars, these gates and their names, just look for the door of the Kaaba. You will see that one from anywhere in the masjid. When you look for the door of the Kaaba, go towards the door, because the next angle, the next rukun, the rukun before the door, less than an arm's length or about that, is the rukun al-yamani, from where you start the tawaf, where you have your Hajar al-Aswad. So you need, apart from the knowledge of starting tawaf from al-Hajar al-Aswad or rukun al-yamani, if you don't know where Rukn al-Yamani is, how do you start your tawaf? Not only that, if you go to Jamarat, in fiqh it is said that where you want to stone at Jamarat, you keep Makkah to your left and you keep Muna to your right. How do you get into that complex so that you can keep Makkah to your left and Muna to your, or Mina to your right, when you want to tell the pilgrims? You need experience. Apart from what you have read in the book. Otherwise, when you stand and look up, you see that Makkah is on your right. Those are from the Sunan of telling the stones at Al-Jamarat. I'm just trying to mention some importance of having a team leader. Aside the fact that you don't or may not even know how to get to the different locations. Somebody who has not performed Hajj before, where is Arafah? He doesn't know. Where is Muzdalifah? He doesn't know. So he has to be led there by somebody. So this person who will lead him, he will lead their salah, he will guide them, he will lead their admonition in the different locations. He will explain the next activity to them. He will tell them how to do the next activity from every stage of Hajj. So if you take a bad team leader, the people are likely to perform a bad Hajj. Very, very important. A brother was telling me about Oshun pilgrims last year that their team was very nice. He said it. I don't know. I've never seen them before. Except once I met them at the airport in Jeddah. The brother said that Oshun pilgrims are so organized, and the reason why he thinks they are well organized is because they have a person of Sunnah as their head. I think that's Rashid Boy. So he will organize them well, and they will perform the Hajj as is appropriate. Or the year they did something, or maybe I should not say that here, they did something and they should not have done. In some books of fiqh, what they did is what you will see. But there's a hadith that the ulama hold different opinions on whether that hadith is authentic or the hadith is not authentic. On fiqh al-hajj, the hadith is called Hadith Umm Salama. So they did something. So one of the brothers raised it, and after it was discussed, the following year they changed that thing they did. The mistake, what they did based on one opinion, they found superior evidence. They changed it this year, the last year. So it's very, very important that when people go for Hajj, they are led by people who have the knowledge of the fiqh of Hajj and people who have experience about the place, the location where the Hajj rites are performed. And other things like that. Likewise, legislated jihad. This background I'm saying will ease my explanation, inshallah. Legislated jihad. I say legislated jihad because these days people call things jihad that are not jihad. So that is why I say legislated, that is approved. Any other is not approved. When the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam sends people on errands or military campaigns, he gives them head. So military campaigns in Islam, the campaigns to be made by an Islamic state, it has its own rules and it must be led by a leader. Not only that, the overall leader of the Muslims must give an order for it. That's why you see those people who do some of what they call jihad now. Once they capture a place, they say they announce a state because they understand the meaning of having a state for the validity of that jihad. What about before having that state? What do we call your jihad? Do you understand now? Before you got that state, what was it you were doing? May Allah assist us. That is why we mention that those things have their own rules, they have their own conditions. And even after they declare the state, are those declarations valid declarations? Because there are valid and invalid declarations, and valid and invalid states. May Allah assist us. So these are the issues we intend to discuss today. I wish that we had been more to ease our task. So that somebody does not ask us about something we would have explained from the very beginning. Maybe we answer one question and stop at that. Is this question coming today or just previous? Being with you. Which one is correct? Three surahs in Ikhlas cover one third of Quran. What it says is ta'adil. It's equivalent to. It is equivalent in its reward. Some ulama say that. Some ulama say it's equivalent in terms of the message of the Quran. That if you divide the message of the Quran into three, one of them is Tawheed. Cool? And Surah Al-Ikhlas discusses Tawheed. So that is another way. Either in terms of reward or in terms of a message of the Quran. I hope the person is getting this answer. Three Surah Al-Quran, three Surah Al-Ikhlas, complete the whole Quran. No, it's not. In Ikhlas, you won't find the story of Musa and Fir'aun. So, you won't find the story of Hud, Samud, and the rest of the people. So it is in terms of reward, and in terms of the essence of the message of the Quran. If you divide the entirety of the message of the Quran into three, one third of it is talking about Tawheed. And that is the essence of Surah 2 Al-Ikhlas. What will be the judgment of anybody that took human parts, dead or alive, for rituals or juju? The basic rule in force is that such things are prohibited in Islam. To deprive an individual of his or her limbs is haram, prohibited in Islam. If it even happens by mistake, not to talk of deliberate, the individual has a right to one of two things. Either cut off the person who cuts a person's hand, his own hand should be cut in retaliation. Cut off retaliation. Or the person collects dia, the blood money for it. And each finger in the Sharia has its own amount. The cost of each finger. Likewise, those of the legs. If a person cuts a person's finger, how much will he pay? They are available in the book of Fiqh. But this matter will be decided by a court of law. It's not that every individual will take the law or laws into their own hands and say, oh, in Islam, if a person deprives another person of a limb, we have to cut his own limb too. So you start running after the person to cut the person's limb too. Those things will be decided by a court of law, so that there will not be commotion in the community. If you grab such persons and you deprive the person of a limb, then the family of that person also gets you and they deprive you of your limb. You see, the commotion will continue endlessly. And Islam does not support a hold of. So that is with respect to a situation where somebody deprives a person's hand. Now, the person uses it for sihr, for juju, as they say. It depends on the level of sihr that it was used for. If it was used for, as we explained, that ulama say sihr has two rulings. The ruling of fisk and the ruling of kufur that takes a person out of Islam. If it was done with a sihr, if it was used for a sihr that takes a person out of Islam, then the person goes out of Islam, apart from the fact that he will pay, as explained earlier. And if it has to do with a sihr that does not take a person out of Islam, but only indicates that it's a major sin, then it will be ruled accordingly, and the person will be asked to repent from that kind of action. I hope the matter is clear. Highlight on the issue of jama'ah. I don't know what this person means by issue of jama'ah. But Islam encourages us at every point in time that the Muslims are together. In fact, that is the essence of all of what we had been talking about. The issue of salah, praying salatul jum'ah, praying salatul jama'ah, performing hajj together under a leader. If the Muslims go for a jihad, they go for a jihad under a leader. Islam does not allow every person to take to what he or she likes or sees as appropriate, because there will be commotion. What you see as appropriate, the next person does not see it as appropriate. So Islam orders of ulama say obligates that at all times the Muslims seek to come together. That's why Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu is very popular for his statement when he said al-khilafu shar, divergence, difference, holding differently is evil. So we should come together in every circumstance. And Allah warned us also in the Quran. It says, وَلَا تَكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Do not be like the holy faith. What did they do? فَرَّقُوا. It says, مِنَ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ وَكَانُوا شِيَعًا. They broke, they separated, they divided their deen into sects. They became sects and groups, parties. His, every party, every group, bima ladayhi farih, become gladdened with what it has. So this one will say our own group is TFC. The other one will say our own group is Form 1. The other one will say our own group is MSS. The other one will say our own group is Sadong. The other one will say, our own group is Nafa. The other one will say, it's Qarib. It's near you. And all of this. Ma anzalallahu biha min sultan. Allah has not given anything of authority to any of these divisions or groups and parties that we Muslims have divided in ourselves into. And that's why even the mosques are based on that now. The mosque of Nafar. Who was Sammakum al-Muslimin? Allah has named us Muslims. So why are you calling yourself something else? Sammakum al-Muslimin. Allah saw all of these names. Abi Allah doesn't know these names, Nick. He never called us any of that. Part of that is even tabliq. But sometimes they'll say, no, tabliq is only talking about the work. It is not talking about the people. It is still the name of a group of people, Jama'atu Tabliq. And the name is official. Sometimes in Nigeria, they want us to believe that, no, it's not an official name. It's only describing the action of some people. So you see, at the end of the day, the Muslims become divided along these lines. They become divided along these lines. Not only that, they practice their Islam also along those lines. So it's Islahuddin, they have a way, they are organizing their marriages. If you want to marry, you want an imam of Islahuddin, they have Islahuddin marriage. They have Ansaruddin marriage. In fact, they have Salah. I was in a masjid someday recently, less than a month ago. We performed Salah in a masjid. And the brother who made the adhan stopped, you know, making tabligh of imam's voice to announce the takbirat and all of that as the imam pronounced. So when we finished, those in charge of the mosque say, look here, this is Ansaruddin mosque. You hear me? If you know that you will not do what Ansaruddin is doing, don't come here. It caused commotion in the masjid. But that is not the problem. That is like headache with respect to malaria. The real problem is what? Malaria. In this case, the real problem is forming that society in the first place. So nobody cares about what Allah says, nobody cares about what the Messenger said, alayhi salam. The matter is now in our own society, oh, we must do like this. So in these things are what the ulama refer to as hizbiya, partisanship, groupism, and it is haram. It's haram. Allah has not ordered us to do that regarding our religion. Haram. So the entirety of the deen will be based on that. If you are together with us in what we are doing, the way we want to do it, you are together with us. Otherwise, you are our enemy. We were all of us. We grew up as young people in innocence. We were organized to have TMC as enemies. Enemies. And those in the TMC were organized, educated to believe that those in the MSS were their enemies. Is this not true? So the same thing. And those, the organizations that are one in their room, they are also together that. Like when you look at the Tabernacle and the CMC, always together. Because they are together, they are one. It is the country of origin that differs. Those in the Tabernacle are more inclined towards the Ikhwan from Saudi Arabia, and those in the TMC are more inclined to Ikhwan in Egypt. All of it is tafriq al-Ummah. It is dividing the Ummah. Ma anzalallahu biha min sultan. This is what we are saying. So if you ask, so how are we going to do da'wah? Let any person that Allah has blessed with any knowledge explain what Allah has blessed him with. And go away. In the northern Nigeria, Islam is more well-grounded than we have in southwestern Nigeria. Whether we want to believe it or not, that is a fact. That is a fact. And you see, when a young boy begins to attend a madrasa, quickly he memorizes the Quran. Quickly he starts learning Arabic. Quickly he read Kitabu Tawheed Ibn Abil Wahhab. That's what 96% of the masajid you will find there, that are masajid of Sunnah. You see them between Maghrib and Isha, they are reading something. The Ulugh al-Maram, Riyadh al-Salihin. They are telling somebody about Allah and His Messenger. After Salatul Subih, the average man you see pushing the wheelbarrow of sugarcane, he will attend Karatu in the morning. Before he goes to anywhere, that's why they are late to come to their store. There is not because they are lazy. Firstly, after Subih, they go to Karatu. Young and old, men and women. I have neighbors that far older than me when I was in the north. They go to Karatu. They go with their Riyadh al-Salihin. When they are going for Salatul Subih, they are with Karatu. They read. They didn't have organization. When did forming organizations start? When did it start amongst we Muslims? Which organization did the Messenger form himself, alayhi salatu? The Prophet Muhammad. What is the name of his Jama'ah? Is it TM? Is it NFS? Okay. The companions of the Prophet Muhammad. Let's say because the Messenger was an individual. The companions, when he died, alayhi salatu wasalam, at Hajjatul Wida, they were over 140,000. There were others who could not come for that Hajj. What was the name of the Jama'ah? Okay. The Tabi'un, the students of the companions, which Jama'ah did they have? Atba'u Tabi'in. What is the name of their society? This is what we are saying when we say forming organizations does not have a basis in Islam. Understand it. It's not quarrel. The way you will ask a person in Tariqah who sat down in a masjid round a white cloth, you will be asking him for dalil. The same way we are asking you for dalil. And the dalil is قال الله قال رسوله قال الصحابة. So, don't pick a quarrel when matters like this come up. You are either in a nice discussion with your brother or your sister, if she's your sister. And then the person is either able to carry on a knowledge-based discussion with you, or the person is shouting and you just leave him to shout. It's two ways. Somebody is either responding intellectually, and you must respond intellectually too. Or the person is responding emotionally. I leave the person to his own emotions. Because emotions does not make the rulings of the Sharia. What we are saying is that these things lack basis in Islam. So we didn't find that. So the ulama mentioned that these organizations were not known until the mid-19th century of Islam. 19th century. One or two centuries ago. In the 13th, if you consider Islamic calendar, 13 something. We are in 14 something now. In 13 something, we started. So for 1,300 years, no society, no organization. How did Islam spread? Islam got spread by young people, students, going to learn from the ulama and then teaching just within the limits of what Allah has taught them. That is how Islam got spread. Even in Yoruba land, if you read how Islam got into Yoruba land, you found that it was not through a society organization. Learned people will come from the north. The one who came to Kwara, Ali, he was a scholar. He sat down and started teaching people. Sheikh Usman Bumfudi was a scholar. He sat there, he taught people. And then his students will be spreading from one place to the other. When they get there, they sit down. They start the masjid first. They need salah. After Salah, they teach people. Who is reading Ashmawi? Who is reading Izziya? Who is reading? They teach people. Finally, because you could not say, if you don't form society now, how do you do dawah? This is how you do dawah. You make dawah by learning and teaching. No touch. There is no third party to it. Learning, that is Islam. That is the meaning of dawah. You learn and then you teach. You learn and then you teach. Within the limit. That was what the messenger told the companion. Says, Ballighu anni walau aya. Tell the people about it. Convey the message I have brought. Even if it is one ayah, you know. Tell the people. So, there is no basis for forming societies and organizations in Islam. It lacks basis. There are some verses of the Quran they quote. Those verses are only twisted to indicate what they want to prove. Those verses do not mean what they prove. They say, "Wa takun minkum ummatun yad'una ila al-khayr wa ya'muruna bil ma'ruf wa yanhauna 'anil munkar." Ali Imran. It's a major verse they quote. Did you not read the Quran? Allah said, "What is coming from?" Was that verse revealed to you? You quoting the verse to prove that you must form a society. Was it revealed to you? Or you know it more than the one to whom it was revealed? Choose one. Ahlahu ma'mur at arakti. The sweetest of them is bitter. Was it revealed to you? It's a bitter one, too. Or you know better than the one to whom it was revealed. That one is also bitter. Or you know better than those who came with the messenger to whom it was revealed. They never understood that verse to mean forming societies and organizations. That is one reputation for that. Despite the fact that that verse does not mean what they seek to derive from the verse. Al-Imam al-Qurtubi rahimahullah says, when Allah said, sorry, it was sympathetic, it's resonating my core. You know resonance? Remember resonance? Sympathetic vibrations of a body when it is with the same fundamental frequency, F of O. They had the same F of O. Sorry, oh, electronic engineers. You still remember small, small O-level physics. Allahu Akbar. If it were Quran too, that is why it will be enclosed in our minds. It will not go away. May Allah make things easy for us. Al-Imam al-Qurtubi rahimahullah, he said, when Allah says, "Wal takum minkum ummat," says minkum here is not with tab'i. Minkum. Tab'i, patiti. Something that is a patiti. This article, minkum, the particle min, this jar wa majroor, is not a patiti. That let a part of you, no, that is not what it means. It says it is the bayan and jinn. Wal takun minkum. You people should be ummatun yad'una ila al-khayr. This ummah should be ummatun yad'una ila al-khayr. That's why it says, kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat lil-nas. Kayf ta'muruna bil-ma'ruf. So it's not talking to part of the ummah, it's talking to the entirety of the ummah. There's a similar example also in the Quran. He says, "Lam yakuni alladhina kafaru min ahli al-kitab." People think some min ahli al-kitab kafaru, and some min ahli al-kitab lam yakfuru. It's wrong. Min here is not a partiti. It's not something that intends to show that a part of some people know. He was talking about the entirety. لَمْ يَكُنِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ. يعني أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ لَمْ يَكُنِ الَّذِينَ لَمْ يَكُنِ يَكْفُرُوا. They were not disbelieving. the kuffar, Ahlul Kitab, who are kuffar. They were not disbelievers until the clear sense of the Quran came to them. So they disbelieved in the Prophet Muhammad. Otherwise, before he came, they knew he was going to come. Examples like that abound in the Quran. So that mean in waltakum minkum is not tab'idiyya, as they say. It is the bayan al-jinn. What evidence do they put again? For me, they don't have any other statement. No, any other thing. Now, as Ansar, we are doing that one too. You say because the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam called Muslims Ansar, and then he called Muhajirun from Makkah Muhajirun. So what about that? Call people of Ede Are Edena. Call people of Oshogu Haro Oshoguna. Is there any other difference? Except for the fact that Muhajirun came from Makkah. So if we call Haro Oshogu, give them one name, Haro Oruki. What about that? Do you understand? And for them, Muhajirun and Ansar were not epithets, they were not names to disconnect the Muslims. It was to show where who came from. What they did. Muhajirun and Ansar. وَاتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. So why inform TMC and MSS? اتصمتم بحبل الله جميعا. And if you know these two organizations that I'm talking about, you know they've not done اتصام بحبل الله جميعا. اتصام بحبل الله جميعا. You all should be Muslims. Like you said in another hadith. وَكُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانًا. So, I will end with this report. One of the brothers that just died, Sheikh Muhammad Awal Adam Al-Albani, may Allah forgive him. He said face to face to me in a discussion when he was speaking about the evils of Jama'a that people have, society, an organization. He said there is an Izala scholar in Zaria. He said one Friday, the scholar stood up on the minbar and explained a mas'ala here in issue of Islamic jurisprudence. He said the following Friday, he came up on the minbar to explain that what that scholar said is correct. He said the following Friday, the other person stood up on the minbar and said, what I have said before is wrong, go. Because somebody who is not a person in their Izala to be our Iqamah to Sunnah, we know them, cool. We change the name when we live there. We change the name. Because when the Sunnah of Salafiyah came, the Olabeyo of the Sunnah of Izala became apparent that it is a society and not Sunnah. There are differences between it. Sunnah, Sunni, you have a rope on your neck. That rope is the Sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salam. Wherever it takes you, that is where you will go to. But once the person begins to say, no, in our society, this is what we'll take. In our society, we in Izala, you have one Sharia on your own. You have one Nabi on your own that Allah gave wahy to. So he said, the person came the following Friday to refute you. So he said, Abu Nasr, I said, eh? The reason is that because he, when the Izala people do a preaching and they do something that is wrong, the following Friday he's going to refute them. So now that they did something that is right, so the man sees him that these people, our own Islam is different from their own Islam. So even though he had said something correct, he also said the same thing is correct. He came back the following weekend to say, no, it's not correct again. So that is to the extent that factionalism now leads Muslims. Like I said, I'd like to stop here. Except we have another proof they mention again. No proof. Except then to say, oh, do you want to say our forefathers who started this thing did not do well? That one is simple. The answer is in the Quran, too. Making evidence with what past fathers and elders did. Allah asked them a simple question. أَوَلَوْ كَانَ أَبَاؤُهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ شَأْنَ وَلَا يَحْسَبُونَ أَوْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. So may Allah make things easy for us. Stand up. I think we can stop here. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. الإمام المزني رحمه